I don't know about you, but I'm really looking forward to heaven. A new life, especially a new body. No pain, no evil, no sorrow. I mean, what's not to be excited about? The vital question is this. How can you know for certain whether you're actually going to heaven or not? Stay with me. That's today.
Thanks for listening to this edition of Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. Living on the Edge is an international teaching and discipleship ministry motivating Christians to live like Christians. Well, today we're wrapping up our series, The Real Heaven. Over the past handful of programs, Chip used various New Testament passages to clear up and correct our vague, faulty ideas about heaven and reveal the tremendous beauty and rewarding life that awaits us there. So if you missed any part of this series, catch up through livingontheedge.org or the Chip Ingram app. Well, with that, let's join Chip for the third and final part of his message, A New Home for the New You.
There is no place like home. I mean, there's no place like your home is where you belong. And that old hymn writer was really, really correct who said, this world is not our home. And that raises a very interesting question. If this world is not our home, and if heaven is our home, what's it really going to be like? It will be a lot different and infinitely better because we will have a number of things that are new. First, we're going to have a new kind of relationship with God. Revelation chapter 21, and then I heard in a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men and he will live with them. And they will be his people and God himself will be with them and be their God. Second, there's a new kind of relationship with sin. Verse 4 and 5. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There'll be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. Well, why? For the old order of things has passed away. He who is seated on the throne said, I'm making everything new. And then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. But it's not just a new relationship with God and with sin. There's a new kind of experience of complete, write this word in, satisfaction. Complete satisfaction. Follow along as I read verse 6 and following. He said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from where? The spring of the water of life. He who overcomes, those who by faith have trusted Christ, will inherit all of this, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. This place that God has prepared because he loves you so much means you'll have a new kind of relationship with him, a new kind of relationship with sin. You have complete satisfaction. You'll have a new city and people to enjoy. And watch this next aspect. A new earth with new nations, commerce, culture, and capabilities to serve and love your God. Now, have you thought about that? This isn't that boring place, sort of hanging around, suspended as sort of some spirit somewhere. This new world has no sea. Now, if you're sailing, don't get uptight. There's got to be lakes, okay? But sea, especially in Scripture, sea is what separated countries. There's going to be unity. And what we're going to find is there's nations. We're going to find that there's kings. We're going to find that the capital is Jerusalem, this magnificent city, and we will come and we will worship. But there's going to be other cities, and it's the earth. It's not just a place. It's the whole earth. Come on, look at this with me. This is amazing. Verse 24, chapter 21. The nations will walk by its light. And the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it, speaking to the city. On no day will its gates ever be shut, for there will be no night. The glory and honor of the nations will be brought into it. So I guess there's glory. I guess there's honor. I guess there's other nations doing things. There's people groups. There's, gosh, it sounds like a real earth with real action. Nothing impure will ever enter it. No cheating in business, no competition. Nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, which is why it's so important to make sure your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And we'll talk about how you can know for sure today. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life as clear as crystal. Notice, flowing from the throne of God and the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. This makes Broadway look like nothing. On each side, the river stood the tree of life bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the trees for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and the Lamb, Jesus himself, will be in the city, and his servants, guess what we do? Will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads, and there will be no more night, and they will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign. That's doing something important. How long? For ever and ever. You're going to be a part of a new earth with nations and commerce and culture and capabilities, and you will serve God the way you were originally intended to serve God. And that was not just in a worship service, but where who you are, what you're made to do, what your gifts are, what your passions are, in a perfect environment, serving by what you do. In fact, just notice some of the implications. If there's nations, there has to be organization. If there's kings, there's authority, roles, and jobs. If you bring splendor, there has to be commerce, culture, art, music, and manufacturing. If you bring it to the city, it means there's other cities. And if you serve and reign, it means there's actually monthly, if fruit comes each month, then there's not a sense of, we're in heaven, floating forever. There's spatial time and sequence. And you will reign, and where you will reign will be directly proportional, according to Jesus, by how clearly you take what he has just taught, because he's given to every single person in this room and every true follower of Jesus talents, gifts, abilities, time, a season of history, and money and resources. And according to Jesus, there's only two things that will last forever: the word of God and people. And he said, I put you on the earth as my representatives and ambassadors to first and foremost live the life that we would call a Romans 12 Christian. And then to be an ambassador or a conduit of God's love and grace, where you verbally tell people about the love of Christ. And by your hands and your heart, you actually do acts of service and justice and compassion, so that the light of the gospel and the saltiness of true justice and love, people see that and realize Jesus is real. And to the degree that you do that faithfully, there is reward, so that what your role will be on this new heaven, down on this new earth, is directly proportional to how you live your life with your priorities and values and what you do with your time, your talent, and your treasure. When Jesus was saying to the 12 disciples, it's going to be really tough, you're going to reign with me, hey, they got their names on the foundation stones. They're just regular guys. God has an agenda. The eyes of the Lord are going to and fro that he might seek to strongly support those whose hearts are fully his. History is going to make its tracks with or without you. God's purposes for the church will get accomplished with or without you. But he wants you to know this is an open book test. I mean, he's saying, look, this is how it's going to end. This is how you'll be graded, and this is what I'd like you to do. And by the way, those people who by faith you can't see right now, then guess what? In heaven, there's no such thing as faith. Faith and sight merge, because it won't be a God you can't see. It won't be promises that you need to cling on to. It will be the very reality and substance of those things. Why? Why all this? Because he loves you, because it's God's character, because he's good. All those commands in Scripture have nothing to do with when he says, don't have sex before marriage. It's because he knows what great sex is and what he wants to protect you from. When he says, give the first portion of your time and your energy and your money, it's to keep you from going down paths where lust and fulfillment and significance and all the junk that we find ourselves caught up in, it's just to keep your heart in the right spot so you get the best. And what he's saying is, look at this city I made for you. I've been busy since I left. I love you. I want to be with you, and I want it to be great. Oh, God, let's stop. God Almighty, will you please help the information that we have just heard to supernaturally go from our head and our understanding into our hearts and conviction? Lord, my life and my priorities and my passion and my joy would be far different if I could remember and believe and live with an awareness of a new heaven on a new earth, doing what I was made to do, completely satisfied with the greatest people to deeply enjoy because you made everything new. Amen. And that's my heart. I've been deeply impacted by this series. I hope it helps you, but it's transforming me.
You're listening to Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. And before we continue Chip's message on heaven, if this topic intrigues you and you want to learn even more, keep listening after the teaching. Chip will talk about some resources we've created to help you better understand, appreciate, and be excited for what awaits us in eternity. You won't want to miss it. Okay, here again is Chip.
See, the summary of all this is, behold, I will make all things new. There's three implications of this that I want to touch on, because we got to ask ourselves, if this is in fact true, I believe it is, the Bible's true, it's clear. There's three questions we need to ask and answer. Question number one is, are you certain you are going to heaven? And if so, why? I mean, this is God saying, look, I've prepared this for you at great expense. It cost the second person of the Trinity to come and be embarrassed and humiliated and then crucified to pay for your sin and then rise from the dead. So, he doesn't want anyone to miss it. And so, let me briefly tell you how you can make sure you don't miss it. 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 through 13, I've put it in your notes and might want to look at it later more carefully. But there was some issues happening and some Gnostics and people shooting a lot of stuff at people. And John says, wait a minute. I'm going to be clear how you can know for sure you have eternal life. This is the testimony, or literally, he's saying, this is the record that God has given us eternal life. That means it's a gift. And this life is in his Son, Jesus. Axiomatic principle. He or she who has the Son has life. He or she that does not have the Son does not have life. These things I've written to you in order that you might know. You can know. I've written this to you who believe that you can know without a shadow of a doubt that you have eternal life. So the question isn't, are you sincere? The question isn't, do you go to church? Do you give the United Way? Are you trying harder? You want to be a good person? Isn't it better to make it a nicer world? Nah, nah, nah. It's not, are you religious? It's not what this philosophy or that philosophy or what their opinion or your opinion. Here's the deal. If you have the Son living in you, you have life. Everything I described is yours. If you don't have the Son, I don't care what anything else is true of you, you do not have life. It's about relationship. God did not send his Son to make little, nice, moral people who tried hard to make the world a better place. He came for you to love you. And the only way you have life is when you recognize you've sinned against a holy God, repentance, I have a change of mind, and I put my faith and receive eternal life. Turning from my old life, receiving the gift of his salvation, covering of my sins, and I follow him. Now, I'm going to pray a very simple prayer that if you're sitting here thinking, I want that, or if you're sitting here thinking, well, I'm not sure, don't leave unsure. And then I want to tell you in advance what we're going to do, because I really think the whole church thing has gotten like, we're trying to be so cool and so hip and so politically correct. And you know what Jesus said? Jesus said, if you are ashamed of me before men, I, when I come, will be ashamed of you when I come in the glory of my Father and the holy angels. And I think we've kind of gotten into this deal where, yeah, you know, I don't know. And I just, if you're embarrassed to say you're a follower of the one that created this heaven for you and died for you, then guess what? You probably don't have it. Because at some point in time, you're going to realize you're going to care what people think or what God thinks. And the moment you die, you will really wish you cared what God thinks. In fact, I'll tell you this, the moment you live, when you really live, all those people that you care what they think, they don't even think about you. We just live with this, what would they think, what would they think, what would they think, does this look okay? And you know what? God knows, they don't even think about you. And we live with this crazy stuff. But this is so clear, God loves you. So I want to tell you in advance, so there's no sense of manipulation, because I'm telling you, there's some of you that have a war going on in your heart. Because you want this, but ooh, what does it mean? What about this? What about that? And you ought to have that. Second question is, for those of us that are, you know for sure you're in Christ, do your present priorities and passions demonstrate a focus on eternity or on what's temporal? I mean, when I talked about treasure, when I talked about time, when I talk about your talent, if the truth are known, I mean, if we were like super good friends and I'd say, hey, I mean, just give me your taxes. Let me see your PDA and all your schedule for the last year. I'll show you mine. Your time's gone here. Your money's gone here. This is the pressure you're living with. You know, this is what wakes you up at night. Is it the things of God or is it doing the deal? Got to do this, got to do that. Because what the Apostle Paul says is our citizenship is in heaven. And he talked of some in that church in Philippians. He said, some of them, little by little by little, they got consumed so much with the right now. He says, with tears, I see their life eaten up with their own appetites, trying to find that significance, security, success, in stuff that's temporal and that's going to burn. Last question is very simply this. Do you know someone that the thought of this amazing city forever and ever doing what you were made to do, that's perfect with no sin, where you see God face to face, where you think, I want them to be there. Oh, I want them to be there. This is real. And could I then ask you, who do you think is going to tell them? You see, the other thing that's happened is we get kind of sheepish about, I mean, here's the deal. If you just married the most handsome man in the world, or you married the most beautiful woman in the world, and I said, hey, I'd like to meet her, and you said, no, don't, please, I'm kind of embarrassed. You know, like, down deep, I think she's ugly. If you're embarrassed about the people you love, you don't really love them. And see, I think we got all kind of people that are so open, they've never heard about heaven. All they've heard about is religion. They've never heard that there is a real God who came and died and rose and loves them. And you know what? They're not going to be in heaven if those of us who say we love our friends and relatives and neighbors and coworkers, if we don't just simply, we don't bombard them, we just let them know, are you aware how loved you are? Why don't you think of maybe two names? Just etch them on your mind, two names. That this week it's a phone call, it's a lunch, it's a coffee. And maybe the simplest way you even say to him is, you know something? I never thought much about heaven, but this guy was talking about heaven. Have you thought much about it? No, really haven't. I'll tell you what, could you listen to this? Let's get coffee next week and let's kick it around. I got news for you. God has appointed many. He's drawing many. They just need to hear. Ready? Pray that prayer. Father, thank you right now for your presence that woos and pulls us and just makes real inside of us, this is right, this is what I need to do. If you need to have the Son, to have life, then right now say, dear God, will you please forgive me for my sin? Would you come into my life right now and be my Savior? I believe you died for me. I believe you rose from the dead. I want to be in the heaven you made for me forever. Thank you for loving me. Dear Jesus, give me strength to follow you. Help me be bold. Use me to tell other people about the heaven that's real and the forgiveness that I have just received from you. I want to say to you before we continue in our program today, for those of you that prayed with me, you might have prayed inside your mind in a car. You might have verbalized the words out loud because you were privately somewhere. And at this very moment, what you did is you prayed and you said, yes, Lord Jesus, I want to go to heaven. Thank you for forgiving my sins. I invite you into my life. And you might be asking right now, okay, now what do I do? Well, let me first welcome you to the family. You're a brother or sister in Christ because you've received the grace of God. And second, the Bible says that when we're born again spiritually, we're like a brand new baby. And like any brand new baby, you need love, you need food, you need encouragement. The food is God's word. Get a New Testament that you can understand and open it up and begin reading it. You need love. Find a Bible teaching church where the people are real and go and begin to attend. And find the best Christian you know, someone the best Christian you know, and say, I want you to know today I was listening to this program and I prayed to receive Christ. I asked him to come into my life, forgive my sins, and I know it's about following him. I don't know how to do that. Will you help me? And I will tell you, you will be received well and they will be excited and God is going to provide for you the people to help you walk in this new life. Congratulations. It's a thrill to be a part of your new life in Christ.
Thanks, Chip. Well, if you just prayed to receive Christ with Chip, we have a free resource we'd like to put in your hands that was uniquely created for new believers. This tool will help you understand what it means to trust in Jesus and what to do next. Request this free resource by calling 888-333-6003. Or by visiting livingontheedge.org, then clicking the New Believers button. That's livingontheedge.org, or call 888-333-6003. Let us help you get started in your faith journey. Well, Chip's still here in studio with me. And Chip, whether it's economic uncertainty, family troubles, or just the weariness of everyday life, people are really discouraged right now. So as we wrap up, where can we look to get us through these uncertain times? What can we put our hope in?
You know, Dave, most of us are going to have coffee or tea and sit around and talk about negative things that are happening. And I think one of the things that has helped me the most is remembering that now is not all there is. If I take the lens of just sort of temporal, what's happening, and all those things you described, and, you know, we could multiply a lot more to them of, I mean, how many of us have lost someone that we loved in the last couple of years? I have found remembering the anchor of heaven, that Jesus promised he's coming back. Jesus promised he's prepared a place. It doesn't mean we put our head in the sand. It doesn't mean we don't deal with things. But as I shared with someone who recently lost someone very suddenly who died, the reality, the anchor that there is a heaven that is real changes your perspective and literally gives you hope when you feel like there is no hope. And the book that I wrote and the resource that's a small group on heaven, what the Bible actually says, has been something that we've seen God use in an amazing way. What heaven is really going to be like when you understand it is something that is hopeful and that you look forward to and gives purpose and design and life and encouragement and brings into perspective all the struggles we have today. So, Dave, could you take a minute and share with our listeners how they can get a hold of that book and the small group resource?
Be glad to, Chip. Well, if you've been searching for some solid biblical answers about heaven, let me encourage you to get plugged in with our resources for this series. Whether it's Chip's book, The Real Heaven, or the small group study, you're going to walk away with a more accurate and exciting view of the place God's preparing for us. For complete ordering details, go to livingontheedge.org or call 888-333-6003. 888-333-6003. That's 888-333-6003, or visit livingontheedge.org. App listeners, tap special offers. Well, before we go, our mission at Living on the Edge is to help Christians live like Christians. And one of the best ways we can continue to do that is through programs like this. So when you hear a message that helps you, pass it on. Now, you can easily do that through the Chip Ingram app or by forwarding the free MP3s that you'll find at livingontheedge.org. And don't forget to include a note about how it made a difference in your life. Well, from all of us here, I'm Dave Drewy, thanking you for listening to this edition of Living on the Edge. And I hope you'll join us next time.